Well, you know, for you need a handout? Here, is that? Those are hers. Yeah. He was going to get her handouts. That's, yeah. Yeah, they're filled out, but they're filled out wrong. So you don't want those. Okay, okay. Anyway, boy. I don't even know where I was. Where were we? Okay, we're talking about the occult, and we started with this study of cults, and we got all it. But the last couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, we've been studying the occult. And so if you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 18. We're continuing, of course, our study of cults and these groups, and we're looking at the occult. The occult deals with supernatural and demonic. In fact, when you think of the occult, you think of something that's like, demonic is what we think of, devil worship, those kind of things when you say the occult. It comes from a Latin word, occultus, which has the idea of something that is hidden or secret. We said this, that the occult, two things, the next slide. It says the occult deals with secret things, supernatural things, dealing with angelic or demonic forces. That's really what we think about. Now, it's different than a cult. And a cult might be the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science and all that. But we call them the occult. But it's actually worship and it's a cult in the same way. That's when we put it together. Many classify the following as the occult. Let me name some things. Witchcraft, magic, palm reading, fortune telling, Ouija boards, tarot cards, Satanism, the use of crystals, and crystal balls. Many people would all call all of that the occult, and I would too. There is a spiritual world that is evil. A lot of times we don't think about that. There is a spiritual world that is evil. And even in this room right now, we've talked about this. In this room right now, there are angelic beings. And there might be what we'd call good angels, and there may be bad angels, which sometimes are called demons. And they're in this room. There is a battle going on that we don't even know about. We don't know exactly what's happening, because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So there's a spiritual battle going on that we can't see. It's very important that we understand this, because many get involved with some of these things. There are people who would say immediately, oh, yeah, my sign, I'm a Leo. I'm the Zodiac. And I read my horoscope. Well, that's part of this whole thing of the occult. And people say, well, there's nothing wrong with, like, Ouija boards and tarot cards and palm reading and all of that stuff. Well, it is. It's very important that we understand this, because you don't want to get involved with this, because it's very dangerous. We see the danger of the occult. We get a basic understanding of what's involved. The very best thing that we talked about before is that believers need to stay away from such things. That's what we need to do. There's a whole group of Christians that think you're supposed to go after the devil. And they want to bind Satan. They want to go after him. The very best thing to do is stay away from him. In fact, the Bible says, draw near to God, and the devil will flee from you. So we want to get as close to God as you can. Romans 16:19. You don't have to turn there. Of course, stay in Deuteronomy. But Romans 16:19 says, for the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I'm rejoicing over you. I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. He's saying, don't get around this evil stuff. Don't know all about this kind of stuff. Don't mess around with Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons and tarot cards and crystals and crystal balls and fortune telling and the horoscope and all. He said, don't mess with that stuff. Don't mess with it. Josh McDowell said, playing around with the world of the occult can lead to serious repercussions. We need to be aware of the satanic realm and not be involved with it. We need to know about it, but not be involved with it. So this morning, we're continuing looking at really two more areas of the occult. Last time we looked at astrology, and this morning we're going to look at fortune telling and witchcraft. We're not going to go into a lot of details. We just want to have a basic understanding. Remember, we said the whole purpose of even studying occults, just so we'd be grounded, so we'd know what we believe, and we'd know, have an idea of what they believe, so that we can be ready to give an answer. So that's it. Let's start with this. When you hear the word magic, I mean, what do you think of? When you hear the word magic, you think maybe of a magician. And we all know that magicians, they fool you. They trick you. I have a friend who's a pastor. I told you this already a couple of weeks ago, that he's a pastor, he's a coach, and he's a magician, and he's a good magician. And I mean, he can put stuff in his hand and hide it right there, and he can be talking to you, and you can't even see it. And then he can pull it out of your ear, and you'll go, where did he get that? How did he do that? He can do all the he can do a lot of the things you see these guys do on TV, and you'll say, where did that ball go? What happened to it? And then it comes out of his mouth or something. How do they do that? Well, they're all sleight of hand. They're all tricks. And as a Christian, he doesn't do magic. He tricks people. He fools people. He'll say, now over here and right there, he's doing something with this hand right here. That no, everybody's looking over there. And then they look back and he does this. And they go, how did he do that? Because it's sleight of hand. But there is such a thing as the bad magic, you might say. The negative, the black magic, the occult, the witchcraft. Erica Jong, in her book, the name of the book is Witches, and she states this: realize that magic is one of the key components of the witch's world. There is techniques of divination, incantations, and casting spells, and so forth. Well, this morning we're going to look a little bit at magic and witchcraft and fortune telling. And let me remind you of the occult. We said that there are really only two spiritual realities, and that one of them is God and the other is Satan. There is the God who is good and Satan who is evil. Now, remember, it's not a toss-up. It's not like here's God over here and Satan over here, and they're two, you know, the force is equal and all that. It's not even like that at all. God is the creator. Satan himself and this demonic force are created by God. He is in complete control. And when time comes, whenever God has done what he wants to do, he will speak and it'll all be over. But there is a spiritual aspect of good and evil in our world and in our system. We know this, that we win. Okay? God is the Savior. God sent Jesus Christ. And so God is the creator and everything's under his control. Satan is just an angel and part of the creation. So we do win. When we think of worship, people either worship the true God or they worship false gods. Now, there's no such thing as a false god in the sense of another god. But throughout history, people have had false gods, and even the Bible sometimes referred to them as false gods. But the Bible also tells us there's only one God. There's no other gods who just happen to be lesser. False gods are worshiping anything other than the true God. Well, let me remind you of what we're going to be looking at. Let me just say this. Go back, because you're right. I did want to remind you of this, that our goal is to be grounded so we know what we believe and then know what they believe, being ready to give an answer. And that's whether it's the occult or cults or whatever it is. Okay, go ahead to the next slide, because you're right. What we want to do tonight, we're going to talk about fortune telling. What exactly is that? And tied in with that is Jean Dixon. She's one of the key persons, or she used to be. She's kind of fading beside the way now, but she's one of the key persons in the United States on fortune telling. We'll talk about that, and then we'll get into the witches a little bit. Aspect as well. Let's think about fortune telling. Okay, what is it? Fortune telling is the art of forecasting the future by some supernatural means. It's where somebody says, if I can move cards over, I can look at a crystal ball, I can look at your palm, I can do this, I can hold some object, I can tell you something about you and I can tell you about your future. We can look at the stars, astrology, and we can tell about your future. The Bible deals with this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, look at verse 9. We've talked about this already. We mentioned this again last week. But look what he says, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you enter the land, this is God telling the Jewish people, when they enter the land which the Lord God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There were the fallen nations that were living in the land, the Canaanites, that God was going to remove from the land. He's going to use the Jewish people to remove them. And he says, when you go into that land, don't do what they do. Don't imitate these detestable things. And look what he mentions, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through fire. They burned up their children. A god named Moloch. They would take their babies and offer them as sacrifices to Moloch and burn them up. Can you imagine that? He says, don't be like anybody who makes a son or daughter pass through the fire, the one who uses divination, the one who practices witchcraft, the one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. He says, don't be involved with any of those things. Believers are not to deal with that. Not even as jokes. There are people who say, let's have a seance. Let's have a fake seance. Let's do that. Don't do that. Don't play with Ouija boards. Don't get with Dungeons and Dragons. Don't get with crystal balls. Don't look at the horoscope. Don't get with that junk. You have the Bible basically telling you that that stuff's evil. Don't get with it. Okay? Saul, the first king of Israel, died because of his failure to obey God's word and his seeking the counsel of a median of a fortune teller. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because they asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it." So 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 says that Saul was removed from king because he didn't obey God, and he went to a medium, to a witch, and tried to have his fortune told. Okay? So be careful. There are many who attempt to tell fortunes. They do that using various means. Let me give you some of the ways that people use. First of all, the thing called palmistry, which is palm reading. There are people who will say that they can look at your palm and they say you've got a long lifeline, you've got a short lifeline, you got this, you got this. And they're going to tell you your future and they're going to tell you about your life from just palm reading. There are people who do that. There's a thing called cardamomancy, which is tarot cards. And you know what tarot cards are? They're these different cards that have pictures on them or symbols on them. And that supposedly they shuffle this little deck for you and then they begin to put out cards. And how these cards fall is going to determine your future or what happens to you. And they'll say, "Oh, okay, because of these two cards coming together, this means in the future you will have the following thing happen to you," or something like that. And there are people who do those kind of things. They supposedly forecast the future. The origin of this has been lost, but many believe it goes back to the Egyptians. And they had a god of what they called the god of wisdom, and they used these cards to get, you know, what was going to be the future. The third one is called mirror magician, and I never really studied much of that, but it's the idea of mirror or crystals. I mean, because it's more than just like a mirror, but using a mirror or using a crystal. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, I didn't bring it in today, but there was that ad, that magazine ad from Jean Dixon, that she was selling a little crystal, which is supposed to be able to tell you into the future and to add healing power to you and those kind of things. And so that's mirror magician, has the use of mirrors and crystals and even crystal balls, those kind of things that tie in there with it. And then there is the last one, which has an idea of if you hold the object of another person, like if you say, "Give me something that belongs to you," and then I get revelation, I get some information from spirits telling me about you, telling me what's going to happen to you, telling me what's going to happen in the future. And that's the idea of holding an object or something dealing with another person, maybe touching them or holding an object so you can be connected with them. You've seen shows, I think, aren't there shows on TV, Medium and those kind of shows, in which this person's supposed to help police track something down, and they give them an object of this person that's missing, and they're going to get the vision to tell where this person is and those kind of things. There's all kind of stuff out there. All of this aspect of fortune telling is wrong and false. The Bible says, trust in the Lord concerning the future. He is in control. Listen, yes.
In Deuteronomy, when it says one who interprets omens, how would you distinguish that from what Joseph did for Pharaoh?
Well, Joseph immediately said that his information that he was getting was coming. In fact, Joseph said, "It's not really me who can tell you all this. It's actually the living God that's going to tell you." He wasn't saying, "I can look at what happens here and then I just tell you." He's saying the living God gave you this information about the two. You're talking about the two dreams that the Pharaoh had. Joseph said it was from God. He said, "You've had the double dreams because it's going to happen very quickly." And he said, "This is from God, and I'm telling you." Same thing with Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dreams, and he called in Daniel, Daniel said, "I can't tell you, but there is a God in heaven who can interpret this for you." So that's a little bit different than somebody saying that I can touch an object from you and tell you about it, or I've got some kind of revelation, not necessarily from God. They wouldn't say it was from God. They would say it's from some spirits or from something. And some would actually say that God has given them information, that he has given them gifts. We're going to read in a little bit Jean Dixon. She says that she believes she is gifted by God to be a prophet. Now, there's only one problem with that. If you're a prophet of God, do you ever mess up at all? Okay, well, we'll find out. We'll talk a minute. Did Jean Dixon ever make a prophecy that was wrong? And if she is a prophet of God and she's made a prophecy that's wrong, what's supposed to happen biblically? That's what's supposed to happen, but we don't do that nowadays. Of course, we're not under Mosaic law.
Oral Roberts made a prophecy that God told him that he wouldn't destroy America if people sent him so many
million. 8 million. Yeah, y'all remember that story, don't you? She couldn't hear, you couldn't hear it, but she said that she remembers the time that Oral Roberts said that God gave him a prophecy that he would not destroy America if they would send $8 million to the university. Y'all remember that one, don't you? I wish he'd have said, you know, $8 million to the university, $2 million to Countryside. You know, if we're going to do that, let's spread. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I was here when he did it. It was a long time ago. I've been here a long time. Yeah, I'm getting older every day, too, let me tell you. Okay, thank you. Matthew, listen to this. I just want you to, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 6, we're talking about that we don't trust in all this kind of junk. We trust in the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 6, he says, talks about you trust God. If God clothed the field, talking about, you know, Solomon, he says, if God clothed the field and the grass which is here today and going tomorrow, will he not take care of you? Don't worry about what you eat or what you drink or what clothes you're going to wear. He said, just remember this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has its trouble of its own. He says, just don't worry. Philippians 4, we'll get to it. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding is guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So what does he say? He says, don't be anxious. Trust God. We don't need any of these kind of things. You don't need this. This is demonic is what it boils down to. And we want to stay away from that. Let's talk for a minute about Gene Dixon, okay? Gene Dixon is sort of famous in America, especially if you're older. That maybe if you're younger, you had never heard of her because she's not near as famous anymore. But she was born Gene Pickard around the turn of the century in Wisconsin, her middle years. Of course, in her middle years, she met this woman. Here's what she found. She met this woman who gave her a crystal ball, and she began being a psychic. Psychic career, this is what she decided to do. She says she has a prophecy in her book. She has a book called The Call to Glory. She says, it's my belief that God has given me the gift of prophecy. Problem is she's predicted things that are wrong and don't come to pass. The Old Testament true prophet has to come to pass. Let me give you some of her prophecies that were wrong. Okay, these are prophecies that she said that God revealed to her that the following would happen. She predicted that in 1954, World War III would begin. 1954. Didn't happen. She predicted the end of the Vietnam War. She said the year 1966 will be the end of the Vietnam War. Anybody know when it ended? 1975. Okay. She predicted on October 19th, 1968, that Jacqueline Kennedy would not marry. The next day she married Aristotle Onassis. The next day. She predicted that Castro would be overthrown from Cuba and leave the island. He's still there. She predicted that Russia would be the first nation to put men on the moon. Who put men on the moon first? We did. So what would we say? We would say, you're wrong, right? You're wrong. You're not a prophet. You're not a prophet of God. You may be a prophet. You may get revelation from something, but it's not from God, and it's not accurate and true. You can't listen to somebody like that. So that's what you get. Let's close out our study, and I don't know if we'll get it all the way through today or not, but let's look at the idea of witchcraft. Sometimes it's called Wicca, sometimes it's called Wiccan. In our country, we don't always think about witches. We think, oh, that was a long time ago. That was, you know, 1700s, 1600s, 1500s. I mean, witches. I mean, nobody thinks about witches. But in the past three decades in America and Western Europe, there's a resurgence of what's called paganism and witchcraft. Witchcraft and paganism go together. The revival of the old gods and goddesses. When you say witchcraft, I want you to understand that witchcraft is not saying, I worship the devil. That's what a lot of people think witchcraft is. You worship the devil. Witchcraft is worshiping numerous gods and goddesses, worshiping the earth, worshiping the cycles of the seasons and all of those kind of things. So be careful. In the past decades, there's been this resurgence of paganism, witchcraft, god and goddessy, goddesses we call the mystery cult. Witchcraft is the generic term of Wicca. Now, I can still remember, I used to be a part, and I'm still a member, but I used to be a part of what they called AUM, Association University Ministers, is now called the Interfaith Council now. And I remember when I first joined, almost everybody connected with Association University Ministers was what we'd call mainline denominations or campus groups. such as the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Churches, the Campus Crusade, the Navigators, those kind of organizations. But in the, as the years went by, more and more other groups began to join. And I can still remember when the Wiccans, when the witches joined the Association of University Ministers. It's a worship, it's a ministry organization on campus. Cannot let them. Because if you say, I'm going to allow Christianity and Buddhism and Islam and anything, then you have to allow anything that says that they're a religion. And Wicca is a religion. So they say, we're a religious organization. We have the right to be on the campus in the same way that anybody else does. And so I remember when they joined. And so they're out there. And in fact, I read something that's about four years ago, but they met on Sundays. And I'm thinking that according to the information I read, they've had between 40 and 50 people meeting every Sunday, the Wiccans. You'd think that there would be that many. You'd think there'd be that many people who would believe some of this stuff. But there is. A man by the name of Gerald Garner in 1884 to 1964 is the guy that revived witchcraft for what we call the modern world. I don't know if you need to even write that down or not. But he wrote a book in 1954 called Witchcraft Today. And his movement founded the worship of the mother goddess. Now, I have for you what they call a Wicca primer. And this is basically some of their beliefs, okay? What do Wiccans believe? They worship the great mother goddess and her partner, who is the horned god called Pan. Okay? You ever heard of Peter Pan? Think about it. They worship the mother goddess and her partner, who is the horned god Pan, but these and a host of other pagan deities are said to represent various aspects of the impersonal, creative force called the One, or the All. So they'd say there's the All, but what we really worship is the mother goddess and her partner, Pan, which is a horn god. Who is this mother goddess? They're answering the questions. Well, she is the female aspect of the All. She has many names, including Diana, Isis, and Demeter. She is usually seen in a threefold form. That's what it says. Do Wiccan witches cast spells? That's a question. Spells are just one of the many ritual activities that Wiccans engage in, although unlike Satanists, they don't call themselves Satanists, Wicca holds but forbids harmful or manipulative spells. How does a local Wiccan group work? Autonomous groups of between 4 and 26 people, the ideal number for people in a Wiccan coven is 13. They meet semi-monthly, usually at new and full moons. In other words, twice a month when you have a full moon, when you have a new moon. As well as the 8 major solar festivals, Wiccan also have 3 degrees in which they can involve. The first degree Wiccan, the second degree, and the third. How did they begin? Well, Gerald Garner, 1884-1964, British civil servant and amateur archaeologist, is credited with founding contemporary witchcraft. So that's what you have. That's what's called the Wiccans, the witchcraft. I've got a little bit more I want to read to you in just a minute. This is from the Council of American Witches, Principles of Wiccan Belief. This is from their document. We practice to attune ourselves with the natural rhythm of life forces marked by the phases of moon and the seasonal quarters and cross quarters. So they worship the world. They worship the moon, the planets. They worship all this stuff. We recognize that our intelligence gives us a unique responsibility toward our environment. We live in harmony with nature. We acknowledge a depth of power far greater than is apparent to the average person. Let me read it again. We acknowledge a depth of power which is far greater than the apparent to the average person. Because it is far greater than any ordinary person, it is sometimes called supernatural. But we see it as lying within that which is naturally potential. We conceive of the creative power in the universe existing through both masculine and feminine. See, they would say there's the mother goddess, and there's Pan, the horn god, there's mother, father, they all go together. Everything just fits in one big deal here. We value sex as pleasure and the symbol and embodiment of life. Now, sex was for pleasure. That's what they say. We recognize both worlds, inner and outer, in the interactions of these two dimensions. We recognize no authoritative hierarchy, but we do honor those who teach and respect those who have greater knowledge and wisdom. Calling oneself a witch does not make a witch. A witch seeks to control forces within him, herself, or herself to make possible to live in an orderly and wise way. We do not accept the concept of absolute evil, nor do we worship any entity known as Satan or the devil. We believe that we should seek within nature that which is contributing to our health and well-being. They worship the world. That's what they worship. Now, I've got one more thing, but I don't know if we'll get it today. Was that the first bell? It was? Okay, let me show you something, and we'll stop here. There are three pillars of witchcraft, okay? Here they are. There's animism, pantheism, and polytheism. Now, animism is there's a life force in all creation. A life force. Now, remember, pantheism, that God is in everything, but animism, there's a life force in everything. There's a life force in a tree. There's a life force in a dog. There's a life force in a plant. There's a life force in a rock. There's a life force in everything of all of creation. And there's a force there. There's a being there. That's why if you look throughout the world, people will worship a tree, or they'll worship an animal, or they'll worship the sun, or they'll worship the moon. They'll worship anything because it has some kind of life force in it. That's animism. Pantheism, of course, means that God is everything. God is in everything, and God is everything. This, if you ask them, this is God. God is in this. God is in this, in the chair, in us, in these papers, in this thing. God is in everything. That's pantheism. And the third thing is polytheism, mean that there's multiple gods and goddesses. So when you say God is in everything, we're not talking about one God, although they say there is the all. But the all is manifested in both a feminine and a masculine form in some way. And then you have all these different things. I want to read this to you, and we'll get to it next week. But I just wanted to read you some of these names that all throughout history. They say the mother goddess, who goes by the following names: Aphrodite, Artemis, Ashtaroth, Arste, Athene, Diana, Isis, Venus. Those are all names of the female goddess that they worship. What about the male god? Well, he's called the horn god. He is also called Adonis, Amun-Ra. He's called Eros. He's called Hades. He's called Lucifer. He is called Osiris. He is called Pan. He is also called Thor. These are just some of the names for this masculine part of this deity, whatever it may be, or this god, that goddess that they worship. So there's a lot there. What we'll do is we'll get this. We'll finish this next week, and we'll start in our summary of it. And I'll bring next time, and we'll bring some things for you to look at to decide what you want to study next time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we continue our study, and that we'd put all this together and be able to give an answer, and to be able to know what to stay away from, and be able to know what people believe, so that we can look at it and know what's right and wrong. Lord, that we'd be grounded in the truth of the Word of God, so that we know what we believe, and that we go back to the Scripture, and that we base our lives off the Word of God. So, Lord, help us there, so that we would know the Word and be ready to give an answer. Thank you, Lord, for our study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.